Welcome to the School Sucks Project, a podcast, YouTube channel, and online community dedicated to personal growth and intellectual self-defense. We promote learning alternatives, home education, critical thinking, peaceful parenting, organization and productivity, and better communication strategies. Please remember to visit schoolsucksproject.com, follow us on Twitter at School Sucks Show, subscribe to our YouTube channel, username School Sucks Podcast, and get involved in our Facebook group. Just search for School Sucks Project.
Hey everybody, this is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks. Today is Christmas. Merry Christmas. In the opening to the show there, you were getting just a little sample of some of the exciting new Christmas music coming out of these socially aware college campuses all over America. I hope you enjoy these songs. And on this very special day, a gift for you of sorts. So let me tell you a little bit about what I'm doing here. There's a new year upon us. In that new year, 2016, if you don't have a calendar in front of you, there's going to be many exciting changes coming for the School Sucks Project. And one of those changes is a lot more material added to our bonus content section, which I call the AV Club. In fact, probably about half of what we produce in 2016 will wind up being bonus material. Now, don't worry, we're going to produce more in this coming year, so there'll still be plenty of free but valuable podcast entries. But there is a cost for the storage of audio files online and the bandwidth needed to download them. So I need to start clearing some of the older stuff out. And as I've said before, I always get a little bit discouraged when I see some of these entries that I thought were really entertaining and even educational. There's plenty of educational stuff in the bonus content section as well. Have 12 listens or 15 or even 25 listens. That's not enough. So I made myself a little list of some of the items that I thought were undiscovered or underappreciated, and I'm going to let them go today for free. This also provides me an opportunity to express my gratitude to you, the listener, for your participation and your engagement in the School Sucks Project. I am really, really grateful that you still listen to the show. There are a lot of podcasts out there. Now, granted, many of them suck, but there are a lot of people competing for your precious time and attention. And this is the best method that I have of sending a nice little gift to thousands and thousands of people. So don't try to listen to all this stuff today. You know, spend time with your family, your girlfriend, or your boyfriend, or your husband, or your wife, and your kids, and your grandma. Oh gosh, your grandma. You know, don't let grandma wind up in the corner while you argue with your uncle and your dad about Donald Trump. Bring her into the fold. She's got stories. She lived through Operation Desert Storm. But yeah, that's it for now. There's more news coming on the changes we're going to be making in 2016. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas or whatever, and a happy new year. And you know what? I'm proud of this collection of additional content that we produced. If you're already a subscriber, if you're already making a monthly contribution and you're a member of the AV Club, I hope there's some exciting discoveries in these next 9 installments. And of course, if you're a regular listener and you're still listening, which means you find this show entertaining and valuable, I hope you'll consider supporting us. You go to schoolsucksproject.com/AV and you can sign up there. Thank you in advance. This next item is the final segment of our 6-hour Six Stravaganza. Back in August, we did this to celebrate the 6th anniversary of School Sucks podcast. It is me, Carlos Morales, MK Lords, and Davi Barker. Things get a little out of hand. I'm going to warn you. Here it is. It is 11:30 p.m. I am Brett. I'm in the studio with Carlos.
Howdy.
I'm on Skype with Davi Barker.
3 hours in the past.
And MK Lords.
Hello.
It is possible that at midnight we're going to be joined by Derek.
All right.
Freeman or Slopey or other?
Freeman.
Cool.
This show will be called The Midnight of Freedom. Because I don't want to set the bar too high. We have been recording now for 4.5 hours, and I actually just got out of the chair for the first time. I want to make it six. I want to make it six for 6 years of the show. So
there you go. That's amazing.
So the first job is for everybody just to comment on the fact that School Sucks has been around for 6 years. Carlos already did. So Davi, I guess it's your turn. If you just want to be like, yeah, that's good. That's fine. That's all. I'm just got to get you on the record saying something.
Wow. I wonder when I started listening, because I definitely started at the beginning. Like, I've heard everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder how many people there are like you.
There's nobody like me.
Well, that's true. I think it might just be me and Davi who've listened every single one. Yeah.
But I don't know if I started out listening when they were current or if I caught up.
Uh-huh.
I think I must have started listening in like 2002 or 2012. Wait a minute. I was listening to Liberty Podcast during the Ron Paul campaign. So if School Sucks came out 6 years ago, that was 2009. So I might have been listening from the beginning.
Wow. Do you remember how you heard about us?
Probably Free Talk Live. Used to co-host.
They used to advertise. Osborne swapped out SACL CAI ads for School Sucks ads in like the end of 2009. So that's
probably it then.
Yep.
Steph also interviewed Brett like six episodes into his show, so a lot of people heard about it that way too.
I did hear that. I heard that too. And he gave you, or one of you gave the other one their mic. I think he gave you his old headset or something.
He did. That would actually, I wish I had prepared better. I could have showed you, we're not doing video, but I could have presented every mic ever used.
Oh, you got to find a picture for that. That sounds great.
On the history of School Sucks. That would have been a great picture. We'll have to get that together for like the 7th. No, the 10th. We'll save that picture for the 10th.
10th anniversary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I have to do this forever. There's nothing else I can do anymore. There isn't.
Yeah, that's true. We're both,
It's like, hi, yes, I'd like to work here as an educator. Oh, you're the guy, quick Google search reveals you do something called School Sucks.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we don't hire people. Yeah, we don't hire people who do stuff with the word sucks in it.
No.
So. Now, see, that's interesting. So I went to orientation today. I have a job as an art teacher at a private school.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems pretty cool. It is shocking to me how similar to public school it is. And I'm sure that's born out of regulations. But one of the other teachers like Googled me and discovered that I have all this writing and wanted to talk to me about it and stuff. And I thought it was going to be really awkward, but it turned out to be about Survivor Max, and they were very excited about it. And they're like, hey, we have an author on the staff. We should, like, get the kids together and, like, have, like, a Q&A about writing books and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, and the second book comes out in, like, 3 months, and it's called School Bites.
What kind of – tell us a little bit about the school.
It's an Islamic school. It's called Granada Islamic School. It's been a middle school, elementary school for years, and this is their first year branching into high school. So there's one freshman high school class, and I'm going to be teaching art in that class, which is kind of cool. There's a neat kind of tension between the board, who I'd say are conservatives and think of the school as like a closed garden to protect kids from the world, and then the faculty, who are the opposite and think of their role as to acclimate kids to the surrounding society and the world. So
yeah.
I like conflict in the workplace. I'm excited.
Have you taught before?
What's that?
Have you taught before?
No. I've done like one-off like taught a bunch of kids how to draw a particular thing to entertain them while their parents did something else. But I've never taught like a class ongoing.
God, I would love a videotape of Davi Parker teaching kids how to draw. I don't know. I could just see you making this all very entertaining. So
I'm woefully underqualified. I really have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah, like, kids are going to find
that
it.
That would be
hit.
Even funner, though.
Yeah, exactly.
To take that class.
Yeah. If you'd been doing it for like 12 years, you'd just be an asshole like everyone else there. So it's going to be good. Yeah.
So is it, I'm guessing most of the faculty are fairly young.
No. They're older than me.
Oh.
I'd say I'm probably one of the younger people on the staff.
But that's interesting. They're all more progressive in a sense of like what kids should be exposed to. I worked at a private school like that where the people who ran it were real conservatives. And then there was me and I was doing my thing. And then there was this guy named Alan and he did like outdoor trips. He was a real hippie. He came from Burlington, Vermont, and he was like Fish's original videographer in the early 80s.
Oh, wow.
And I remember I brought in some magazine and like Che Guevara was on the cover. It was just some free Vermont magazine that I would pick up like on the way to work. You know, I didn't bring it in for any purpose. Like, I probably didn't even know that much about who Che Guevara was. And he walks in my class. He's like, hey, Brett. Oh, hey, Che. So that was his scene. And but everybody else.
The Che scene. You got to watch out for those guys in the Che scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to be trusted.
So, yeah, but I had a similar experience, but they were pretty hands off unless I started yelling about something, and they, you know, overheard me in the hall. And I got spoken to a couple of times, like, don't say Christopher Columbus did genocide.
Oh man. So I was in the library today and they have this whole display of like what your civic obligations are, and they're like kids books on like what it means to vote, what it means to pay taxes, what it means to run for office, what it means to do jury duty. And I'm like reading through these and they're like the big like picture books with large print, so there's no detail, right? it's just like the rawest of propaganda.
Davi, can you collect those books so I can do a show with you where we just read those things?
And
we
it's take a library. Pictures? I can probably check them out.
Can we do? We need to do this. Yeah. We need to do this fucking immediately.
Oh, this reminds me. I did this. I was tutoring this kid who was doing this. It was like a virtual charter school because he got kicked out of public school. So I had to go to his house and like walk him through the charter school online curriculum. And one of the classes that we did was government. And you go to the teacher's page for the class because every like instructor had their own page where you could like email them and read about them. And it's a picture of her with Nancy Pelosi. So I was like, oh, I see where this is going. And there was this like simulation about government versus no government. And it would ask you these questions and you could answer them. And it was like a choose your own adventure. And in the end, it would be like, and this is why we need government. This is why government is important. So I basically, this was probably 2010 that I was doing this. So I was a little more agitated at the time about all of these topics. And I said, we're going to do this until we get a different answer because I just want to see if there is a different answer. And we ran through the choose your own adventure questionnaire. Like it was like, here's a situation. What should be done? You know, and I just answered all the questions in the most libertarian way possible. And it's like, we need government at the end. So every time it just came to government. Because it was like, do we need government or do we not need government? Like it was going to be a real exploration of that, but no.
Was there motorcycle gangs involved?
It's a primrose path.
every time anarchism is always discussed in like shitty nonfiction or like government propaganda, it's usually motorcycle gangs. Like just rampaging through the whole place.
We should have like a we should flip that. We should start like a peaceful parenting motorcycle gang and like a nonviolent communication motorcycle gang.
Well, there's that BACA. BACA exists. They're Bikers Against Child Abuse. They're actually some pretty cool dudes.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I worked with them a while back, and there's a few like kind of motorcycle gangs out of there that are actually kind of cool. There was that recent biker gang that was going against the Ku Klux Klan. And so it was like this hardcore biker who's just screaming out like, I don't hate homosexuals. I think people are awesome. And I don't like KKK. And I was like, all right, I like these bikers. These are good
and
people.
There's those bikers that go out and drown out the Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah.
And they just circle around them and rev their engine so nobody can hear them.
Oh.
Fact.
Hey, can you guys turn on your video if it's not too much of a trouble? It just might be a little better if I can see you.
Sure.
I can't turn on mine.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just going to put – I can probably turn on mine too. So you can – you're only going to be able to see one or the other. Actually –
you can turn that thing. Can we do it?
Yeah.
I can do it.
Our streaming. Oh, wait. No, I got a shot set up where you can see both of us.
You do?
Yeah, it's a cut shot, okay. So it's fine. Can you flip on that light?
Yeah.
Cool. You'll be able to see us a little. Just a second. Video.
It's like I'm both like dreading and excited about teaching fresh or high school freshmen. Like it could be really awesome, or it could be a total nightmare.
What do you think would be nightmarish about it?
Okay, worst case scenario is completely unruly kids or completely unruly faculty.
Yeah.
I have some concern that I'm going to run afoul of some like conservative religious principle, and I'm going to have to go to bat for a kid against the faculty or against the maybe his parents. I don't know.
Is the class an elective or is it required?
I think it's required.
Ooh, because that can make a big difference.
Is it just called art or is it called drawing or what's the class called?
It's just called art.
Yeah, that sounds like a requirement.
Yeah, that's that's the most generic fucking word that you could possibly use. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing is I get to design the curriculum.
Oh.
So there's that.
So you're just going to do like crazy postmodernist anti-religious stuff, right?
Well, I am definitely – so like one of my assignments is that I want everybody to have a sketchbook that they take out of class, and that essentially covers homework for the classes. I want you to be drawing and writing your own thoughts and your own ideas, and I'm not going to grade you on content. I just, you know, I want you to have fun in a sketchbook. That's the assignment, right? And that could run afoul of all kinds of people's sensibilities, right? Like, depending on what the kid decides to draw. I also want to do a collage project using magazines and newsprint, and that's potentially offensive because it's media.
Yeah, are there restrictions as far as that's concerned in the school or?
Not that I've come across. I'm essentially in the position of asking forgiveness, not permission. I'm not planning on, well, what I've told them in both interviews, because I was interviewed with the principal, vice principal, and the board, was I'm not going to be policing content. If kids draw something that is offensive to somebody, I'm not going to be grading that. I'm only going to be grading on technique. And so I'm not going to tell kids not to draw certain things or not to say certain things. It's just not something I'm comfortable doing. And I'm a little worried that that is going to be the conflict.
That could certainly be the conflict.
I totally agree with what you're saying, though. I mean, I feel like I had the same policy. Like, I'll, for me, I think it was more like once I got a little bit jaded, I'm just going to see what I get away with. I'm not going to be asking for permission because I found like at the school.
But I'm starting there, Brett. That's the thing. Like, I really can't realistically have this job for more than a semester or two. So. I'm not going into this thinking that I need to keep the job.
That's true. Yeah. Like I kind of needed the job, but at the same time, like going and like I was really enthusiastic especially when I was teaching history, but from having worked for like pretty much the same people at another school, I knew that going and asking permission to do things was just basically a way to run into a wall. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, he's asking. And there was just so little thought put into it. They're like, oh, he's asking. That means he sees like a conflict and potentially a problem.
Therefore,
oh,
no.
No. Yeah. And it was really like that. And it wasn't until they put me in another building, like in this other campus, or I actually asked to go there where no one was paying any attention to what I did. So I just did whatever I wanted until like there were times where we had to have administrative meetings about it. But by then I was like, yeah, I started a newspaper and I changed the whole curriculum 2 months ago. And, you know, then they were lazy about that too. It's just like, it's easy to say no to something before you start. So that's like what you said about apologizing versus asking for permission.
Yeah.
They were lazy about that too. They're like, all right, well, if there hasn't been a fire, then fine. Just keep doing what you're doing. Like no one really cared that much, I found. It was when you asked them for their input that they wanted to flex, you know,
sure,
their restrictiveness or their conservativeness. And it was the same with the other school. The other school was tough because it was really small and people could basically hear what we were doing if they wanted to. Like they could just come up, walk up to the door and hear what I was saying. And that's how I got in trouble a couple of times. But it still didn't stop me from basically doing most of what I wanted to do. So.
I'm also a little shocked at how easily I was entrusted with these students.
Yeah.
Like I filled out a resume or an application, and I gave them a resume. I gave them some references, which were like Drew Phillips and Tim Fry. And I interviewed with a board of directors and a principal and a vice principal.
Daycare teachers have less interviews than that, and those kids are like 4 years old. So they really don't even know what the hell is going on. At least with like 14 and 15-year-olds, you know, they kind of get a general idea of how human beings interact with one another to a certain extent. But yeah, like daycare teachers, I've checked the requirements because I worked for one for a really small amount of time. They did like nothing. I mean, even their background check was bullshit. And I was like, you're letting me hang out with a bunch of 4-year-olds. This is weird.
But you got to have those 9 EEC, ECE credits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can also lie about those, too. They don't check.
No, I don't have any teacher credential requirement or anything.
No, but I mean, for early childhood, because I've thought about those jobs before, like maybe this is the group that I should be working with. But every single one of those jobs says on the requirement must have 9 early childhood education credits. Now, I've tutored people to become certified for the early childhood education teacher exam or to be certified in ECE, basically. But I don't have any of the credits myself. But so,
dude, you just lie, right? I mean, I'm not telling you to lie on air right now. What I'm saying, though, is like, a lot of these people, you know, how much have we talked about were never asked for our diploma?
Yeah.
Oh, they want transcripts of my college courses.
Oh, for you?
And they want my fingerprints, and they want to prove I have some vaccine. And there's a lot of, like, paperwork type requirements, but none of them are really about whether or not I'm safe with children.
Safe with children, yeah.
That reminded me, this school that I was just talking about, one day, Alan walks in with his Che Guevara t-shirt on this time. And he says, it was when Hurricane Katrina happened. He's like, oh, yeah. Now we can just say, oh, yeah, I went to the University of New Orleans. I graduated in 2005 and my records.
Right.
Like back then, it was like records could be lost, you know, of stuff.
Yeah.
So I thought that was an interesting idea.
Yeah, but I was only ever asked for my diploma to work for the state, and that was it. Even when I did like some social work side stuff and things like that afterwards, I would just say, yeah, I have a degree. And I was like, never asked for it. And the high school degree one's even funnier because I've talked to people who are like, well, I'm filling out this resume and it says I have to have a high school degree. I was like, they're never going to ask you for your high school degree from when you lived in Oklahoma.
No.
Just lie.
And I remember I took this tutoring job once and she's like, we need to make a photocopy of your college diploma. And I was like, for why? And she's like, I'm like, well, I'm going to go have to dig it out of a box in my mom's basement. And that's where the last time I saw it, she's like, you don't have it displayed on your wall? I was like, I should have it displayed on my wall as maybe one of the biggest financial mistakes I ever made in my life.
It's a receipt.
Very expensive receipt.
I am happy I went to college, though. I mean, I guess it would have been really hard for me to have some of the transformative experiences with respect to, you know, realizing that I had some potential because we were talking about it like 3 hours ago. I didn't graduate from high school feeling like I had any, like I was ever going to be able to do knowledge work in life.
Oh, yeah, me either.
Yeah. So
I had a sense that I wanted to be a writer straight out of high school, but I didn't know how to go about doing that.
Yeah, I wanted to be like a sportscaster. MK, what did you want to do when you were in high school?
Oh, man, I wanted to do so many things. I wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to be a stand-up comedian. I wanted to be a writer. Yeah, a bunch of stuff. Mostly writing, though. That was something I always really wanted to do. And like Dobby was just saying, I didn't really know how to go about it. It was just like, oh, well, I guess I'll go to college and like major in English or something.
You got a bug in me to try my hand at stand-up comedy recently.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, you did it. You went to Porkfest and you did it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know
that I'd be good at stand-up, but I like the idea of writing comedy or something like that. I like satire. I've written some satire and stuff and just kind of funny short stories and poems and things like that. So that's always fun.
Dude, this was like open mic is the most nerve-wracking thing of all time.
I like tapped into some like George Carlin style, like not funny but true angry comedy the other day. And and I kind of want to do it, but I just know that I would make a pariah of myself. And I also don't know whether or not I would be any good at it.
It is pretty intimidating getting up there. So,
well, for a lot of people, like, so I went ahead and I tried it out. I was like, I'm going to go for an open mic. And so I just quit working for CPS. So I was like, man, I got a lot of dark stories. I watched Doug Stanhope. He says fucked up stuff and people laugh. Turns out he has jokes.
Right? Oh, you can't just say fucked up things?
No, you can't. This isn't, you know, poetry night. Isn't slam poetry or anything. And for me, like, slam poetry also has poetry in it. It's not just someone saying fucked up shit. So I was like, what can I do? Let's go for it. And I failed miserably. Yeah, I just went up there. You go ahead.
Yeah, I used to do open mic nights and do poetry readings and stuff like that, and was part of a little poetry group. And it was really fun. It was really interesting, and it was kind of, it was cool because anything goes. I mean, like, there was some weird, like, abstract performance art poetry stuff that, like, I totally didn't get, but I was like, man, that's kind of cool.
I think a poetry group too would be a lot more forgiving than, say, a San Antonio club in the ghetto at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And the only people in the audience are cynical comedians who had just went before you.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh.
That was the whole audience.
Rough
it was
crowd.
Just a bunch of fat white guys who had just done stand-up. And they're just looking at you like, get the fuck off the stage. Like, that was basically the look I gave. They gave me.
Libertarian musical comedy. Like, kind of like Tenacious D.
Oh, God. Tenacious D.
Or South Park.
But I mean, like, people on a stage playing instruments and doing songs. Has that ever been done?
Oh.
Well.
That would be cool, though.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who's done it.
I can throw myself in there. That'd be fun.
Yeah, there you go.
Who do we have here? Davi, you playing instruments? MK, you want to play on bass? You can go through Skype.
Yeah, I can remember how to play bass.
I could probably come up with enough guitar muscle memory to do rhythm.
Okay. That's all we need.
There you go.
All I need is muscle memory.
We got a band.
We got a band, guys. And Brett's going to play drums.
Brett can tell jokes. I mean,
there we go.
Right. Well, we could do things like, you ever see Bernie Mac on Def Comedy Jam?
Yeah.
Where he told jokes and then he had the DJ play music and he danced.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that would be good. I could get into that.
Well, that's dancing kinda, should be involved for sure.
Yeah, that's kind of like the perfect life for me. Like, I just do a joke and then music starts and I dance.
Yes.
I could just do that all day.
MK, is there a way you can figure out how to play bass while doing fire hula hooping at the same time?
Yeah, I could probably, swing that.
Yeah, all right.
But that's no, you guys
well,
are
I'd have to learn to
small.
Play behind my head.
Exactly. I can teach you that. I can teach you the behind the head
right,
stuff.
Right, right.
You need to figure out a way to get some tech into the hula hoop so that the dancing makes noise while you're hula hooping.
Oh.
Well, they actually have hoops you can program to songs, like LED hoops. You can they're smart hoops, and you can program them to different songs. So those are pretty cool.
And then we can get Paige to do the background, like, crazy effects and stuff.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, I'm so excited about
Brett said
that.
This is a joke. I'm thinking that we can make this happen.
Yeah, the problem is that some people have to be through Skype.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's possible, as long as we don't have a delay, because that would fuck everything up.
Skype does have a delay. Fiendphone has less of a delay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the Indian woman shows up randomly and starts yelling.
No. Oh, yeah. Sangeeta.
Fucking Sangeeta shows up.
So what else?
Okay, well, I mean, that's a pretty big
How do you grade art? Do any of you have any clue how you grade a piece of art?
A+.
That's what was my thing with art. Like, how do you grade it? It seems like it would just be subjective. I mean,
yeah,
I think by definition, right, guys? Well, wait, but there's rubrics, right? Like, you say draw with a pencil, and then they pee on the paper. That's an F.
That's art, man.
A+.
That's like skip a grade.
I remember I was in college, and I was like, God, I was such an asshole. I was like a freshman in college, and I'm so embarrassed by the story.
I was in this art class, and he's like, he gave us all this, like, I don't know, like Renaissance art to like write reviews about. And I just drew a bunch of pictures and handed them in. And I was like, I don't think I can evaluate somebody else's art. He's like, fine, B. But I had some kind of like lofty explanation. Like, oh man, what a pretentious. It's okay. It's okay that I was like that.
Hey. Well, that's great with art, because if you can just explain that it has meaning, then yeah, you can trick people into thinking it has meaning.
That's what I learned in art school was how to pretend something has meaning. Like, so I've got two stories. So one is ceramics class, and we're supposed to make something, and the only requirement is that it be longer than 15 inches, right? And so I make a scale replica of a computer keyboard that looks like it's been through a fire. And it looks perfect. Like, you put it on someone's desk and they think that something blew up their keyboard and they panic for a minute. And the teacher gave me a C. And I said, why? It's a phenomenal piece of work. And she says, yeah, but the shortest thing on it is 13 inches. The assignment is 15 inches. I'm like, you need to take a geometry class because you measure a thing by the hypotenuse and the hypotenuse is 15 inches. And she says, no, still a C. And so for the next assignment, I made this giant, like, naked woman throwing up a fish. And it was very intricate, right? And very large.
Vomiting a fish.
Like, she's like heaving and a giant fish is coming out of her mouth. And then we do a critique, right? And we're supposed to talk about what the piece means to us. This is because this is later in the semester when we're allowed to mean things in our art. And I say, I really feel like in this class I'm being asked to just regurgitate meaningless things. And so I made a sculpture of someone regurgitating a meaningless thing. Also got a C on that. But my favorite was, this is a painting class, and I didn't finish the painting because I just ran out of time or did too many drugs or something. And so I showed up to the final exam with an incomplete painting, and I said that I was so emotionally invested in this painting and I was so disturbed by its development as I progressed through my relationship with it that I couldn't work on it anymore. I just physically could not finish this painting. I was so disturbed by it. And I don't even want to look at it and I don't even want to talk about it. And I got an A on that.
Well, that was part of the art, was that you were scared by the art.
Exactly.
The art of evasion.
You were just distraught, but yeah.
So, in sociology, we had to play around with words a lot. For one of my final papers, we had to write a 15-page paper on the movie Demolition Man and what it meant to us. Do you guys know what Demolition Man was?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. With Sylvester Stallone.
Shells.
Really bad movie. And I went to my professor, and I was like, look, I have no idea what you mean by that. And he's like, just find out an interpretation of something based off it and write a paper about it. So I wrote about how Demolition Man was a representation of the failure of the traditional American family, and like how the destruction of the family inevitably leads to Demolition Man, because at the time I was listening to way too much Stephen Molyneux.
That's so funny, because when I was a freshman in college and I drew those pictures to evade what was assigned, all my pictures had Demolition Man themes.
Nice.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, and the reason why I wrote that, though, was because I already had an 18-page paper about the childhood origins of war. So I just flipped the entire thing to be able to match that, rationalized it within the first two paragraphs, and then just gave them the exact same paper that I just gave my other class.
Oh, I love doing that.
It was so good.
Yes.
It was so fucking good. Nice. I did that maybe four times in different classes.
It was really easy in graduate school.
Oh, my God. It was so fucking easy because, you know, sociology classes, it was such a sham fucking degree, because all you needed to do to take any single sociology class was take intro to soc. As a result, every single class was just introduction to sociology again. Like, the first half of the semester was them just explaining to you all the different sociological schools, like feminism, conflict theory, and everything. So you could have really done our entire degree in about a year. Just a worthless degree. I just got better at writing the same papers and making fun of communism.
I managed to turn in the same paper for astronomy as for comparative religions. And that was fun.
How'd you do it?
I wrote the paper on the star Cirrus, which is the eye of the Canis Major constellation. And because it is the brightest apparent star in the sky, every ancient culture has a myth about it, which makes it useful for comparative religion. And then over in the science wing, I talked about scientifically why it's the brightest star in the sky and what effect that had on cultures. And so it was essentially just writing the same paper, except one is – except it's just reversing which feature is explaining the other.
Did you talk about the Dogon?
Yeah. Talked about the Dogon.
Did they really know about Cirrus B, which was the a star not visible to the naked eye behind Cirrus A?
Allegedly, they knew about it.
What does it mean?
There's a lot of criticism of that idea, and like who knew what and when, and whether or not those anthropologists actually just told them and they adjusted their myth, because there's a lot of examples of the Dogon people adjusting their myths and claiming the myths were always their myths after they encountered new people.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's such a good idea. That's such a good marketing move.
So yeah, so like French anthropologist comes along and they're like, oh, you like that star, you know, funny thing about that star, and they're like, oh, we knew that. In fact, we've always known that. That's the way they tell their myths.
Oh.
Allegedly, this is just the criticism.
See, for me, that makes me like them so much more.
Yeah.
Like, it's just master manipulators of religion. It's a good thing. Yeah. As long as we figure it out afterwards, we're good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, now with the internet and shit, people can just say crazy stuff and I can just laugh at them and not have to be so worried that, like, the world's going to end because they said these things.
I'm just going to start writing that, though. Whenever somebody says something new, I'm going to say, I've always known that.
People do that, though. They're called toppers, and they're the worst people.
I'm going to be a topper. Yeah, topper Vanat. That's my name. What movie was there a guy named Topper in?
Police Academy?
Hot Shots.
Hot Shots.
Topper Harley. Charlie Sheen.
Oh, okay.
Was it a Top Gun parody?
Yeah.
I'm
thinking
of
Hightower. Hightower is the Police Academy guy.
Topper Hightower.
I don't think his name's Topper. I think I just got my verbs mixed up.
No, but that's my name. I'm combining both of those Topper awesome Topper names Hightower. To be Topper wow. Hightower. And
that's
no one is going to outdo me.
There you go.
Online. I've always known that.
Wow.
Everything will be taken care of, Brett.
Everything will be fine.
Everything will be fine.
Don't you worry.
As
I started launching into a Jeff Berwick thing again the other night when his name was brought up. It's like every time his name comes up. Now it doesn't even have to come up. And I just start doing it.
Like now?
Yeah, exactly.
Just inside you, because you really want to be Jeff Berwick inside.
I wrote to him. I was like, hey, we're going to make fun of you in our group about you having Eric Dubai on your show. And he wrote back, he's like, I'm still 50-50 on all. No.
How are you 50-50 on the fucking world being flat?
He might have been kidding.
He's been commenting on other people's posts, too. He's like, the more I look into this, the more it just makes sense, you know?
Wait, Eric Dubai is a flat earther that was on Jeff
Anarchist,
show?
Yeah. Dude, it's the new meme. It's the new meme. It's the new thing in Liberty, my friend. You're missing out.
Okay, so...
I don't listen to these sorts of arguments because I have utter certainty that the Earth is actually banana shaped.
Straight Talk Express
can't be
time.
A libertarian again. Unless you're flat earther.
So. Straight Talk Express.
Straight Talk Express. That's my new phrase for when it's time to get serious. And if you don't know, that was the name of John McCain's campaign bus in the year 2000.
That's right. God.
Straight
yes.
Talk. All right, everybody. Straight Talk Express.
All right.
Could the Earth be flat?
No.
What are the arguments that it is?
I have argued that it's flat in the past.
Based on what?
What I'm going by is usage of the word flat. So, for example, my table here right in front of me, anybody who saw it would say that it's flat. But if you had a very precise measurement of its arc and you curved it and you extended that arc until it met itself, it would actually have a rounder curve than the Earth itself. So geometrically speaking, for some reason, we call this table flat, even though its arc is greater than that of the surface of the Earth.
Sold. That's fantastic.
I'm okay with this.
I'm totally okay with that.
I'm not denying that it's a sphere, mind you. I'm just saying it's flat.
Everything is eventually a sphere. Or
more sphere than flat if given enough time and space.
Right.
Carlos, so you're the skeptic here.
Okay, so whenever you shoot a bullet long range, after 500 yards, you actually have to adjust due to the spin of the Earth. And there's no way to explain that with a flat Earth. Also, whenever you actually look out into a ship after a long period of time, you can actually see it, the way it curves over. The
only way I'm not denying that it's curved.
Oh, no. I'm not arguing Davi's point. I'm arguing the idiot's point. I can't even fight Davi's thing because that's always the case. He's just going to say something where I'm just like, man, I can't say shit to that. So I just sit there and argue with the stupider person.
Yeah, let's
find
a dumber person.
I like fighting straw men. It's so much easier.
That's like a very Donald Trump thing to do.
No, it wasn't a Donald Trump thing to do. You asked me to argue the original point.
No. We're both doing it, though.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm saying it's a cool thing to do. Like, when you're talking to somebody and they say something really smart and you kind of don't know what to do. And then you're like, this other guy, though, he's fucking dumb.
And people like me. And I'm a billionaire. And you're a fag.
I want him to call somebody a fag. Carlos put this idea in my head.
He's so close to doing it.
He's so very much loved.
But I want him to call, like, not somebody who's, like, actually gay. I want him to call, like, a woman a fag.
Rick Santorum. It's got to be Rick Santorum.
That would be funny.
God, this sweater vest.
Or Rick Perry. Either Rick would be fine with
Rick
me.
Perry is a homosexual. Well, at least he does have gay sex. And that is off the record, but said by his attorney in multiple cases. So he should call Rick Perry a fag.
I want him to call a child a fag.
Hey, look here, you little faggot.
That would be the ultimate Trump thing
and
to
then
do,
he
though.
Kicks him.
Call
then
a
he
child
kicks
a
him.
Bag.
No, I don't want him to do...
He needs
like,
to be an orphan.
Nor orphan, definitely orphan.
I don't think he could get away with kicking a child.
What about taking the bread out of the hands of an illegal immigrant?
No, I want...
They call him a faggot. Like, you don't get the bread because you're a fag.
How far could he go? See, the reason, like, I don't want to offend anybody with all this talk, but what the exercise here, the thought experiment here... is what is the line that he can walk to, right? Like,
well,
could
like, he's been accused of raping his wife. I mean,
yeah,
like,
really?
And that's been known for like since the early 90s.
Yeah, 93.
Yeah,
it came out in his one of the books written about him, and then his attorney said, "But you can't rape your wife." So that's great. He said that he doesn't want black people to count his money. He only wants Jews. People with yarmulkes to count his money.
Okay.
What do you mean count his money? Oh, count his money.
Count his money. Bankers.
Okay. So it's not rape. It's not racism. Where's the line? What's the thing that makes Donald Trump have to withdraw from the 2016 presidential campaign?
I don't think his campaign could survive a bankruptcy.
What if he paid like $50,000 to hunt a bald eagle?
He could still get away with it. He could still get away with it.
But a bald eagle.
A lot
eagle.
Of backlash. A bald eagle, though.
Yeah, that's an interesting animal.
And like, what if
he turns
called
out
the
he killed
before
Cecil.
He killed it?
The dentist is a fall
and then
guy.
He ate it.
And then he ate it.
Like, barbecued the bald eagle.
No,
but he cooked it in like some kind of French way.
He's
pissed him off even more. Barbecued him in too American.
Not even. They find him. There's like this video that's leaked. It goes viral. He's just sitting Indian style on the sidewalk with like eagle blood all over him, and he's eating it raw.
Wait.
With the feathers, there's feathers on his face. That might.
The
answer, I don't think
no,
the
no,
campaign.
No,
could
no, no. The answer's
that.
Always been there. If it came out that he was gay, he would immediately lose. His entire fan base is homophobic, racist. So all he
no,
need to do is suck a dick.
I think he could take it.
No, he'd have to suck a dick. If he sucked a dick, he'd be out
on video.
On video.
No, he's in a. Gay porn
with a bald eagle.
With a bald eagle.
What if it's like a like he was in a gay porn in college and it like comes out.
Yeah,
like it's old, it's archival gay
Ooh.
Porn.
He could justify it.
Revenge
he could still justify
gay porn.
It.
All right, so you
no, but college though, this could be like that'd be black and white. That could be anyone.
Ask the question.
No, because what you don't know is that he has the word Trump tattooed across his pubic mound.
He's got a Trump stamp.
Name of the episode.
Trump stamp.
Wow, that was quick wit. All right, so you are a reporter, Davi. You have a revelation. I will be Donald Trump. Hit me with it. Is this the thing that's going to undo my campaign? And I'll try to respond.
What? I don't understand the question.
You have some kind of dirt on me.
We're role playing.
Yeah.
I'm a reporter. You're Donald Trump. And yeah. I'm like, Mr. Trump, how do you respond to the allegation that – and then what am I hitting you with? Is this – you're going to respond as Donald Trump?
I'm going to respond without knowing what you're going to hit me with.
I don't know. I don't know Donald Trump well enough.
Gay porn. Bald eagles.
Doesn't have to be true.
Rape.
Can we come back to me? Can I have a minute?
Sure. Just go to the outermost reaches of – go to the darkest corners of your imagination to conjure up what Donald Trump did.
Mr. Trump.
Okay.
How do you respond to the allegation that your first company went bankrupt after spending billions of dollars on a dolphin harem?
Look, I see what you're doing. You're very dishonest. You're very dishonest. You should be ashamed of yourself. Dolphins love me. Dolphins have always loved me. Do you think that I got to be this rich by not having dolphins love me?
I think you did it on purpose, Mr. Trump.
And yeah, I withdraw. I didn't think you could get me.
It was the pun. The pun got you. It's the pun that'll undo Donald Trump.
It totally disarmed me because I was going to say, look, dolphins love me. That's part of why I'm so successful. Because every living thing loves me. And everybody else is terrible. But I was completely disarmed.
I had the weirdest experience ever yesterday. Not ever, but weird. I was going to a restaurant. I was meeting my mom and some of her friends there for lunch. And there's this guy parked out in front of the restaurant. And he's like, his driver's side door is open. And he's sort of like sitting side saddle. And his legs are outside the car. And he's holding onto some crutches. And he's just sitting there. He's not like trying to get out or anything. He's just sitting there. And so I say to him, like, do you need some help? Can I like help you get out of the car? Are you having trouble? And he's like, no, but thanks for asking. You've reassured me that humans are the dominant species on this planet and not dolphins.
That sounds like something you would say when you're old.
I know, right? This is why dolphins are on my mind. And then he goes on this spiel about how intelligent dolphins are because they don't pay taxes. Like, if you were in a race from primordial soup to today and you compared humans to dolphins, they've really got it down. First off, they occupy the terrain that's two-thirds of the planet, and we're stuck on like one-third of the planet because we're all stuck on dry land. And he just goes off about this.
Wow.
I heard they were a little
but
rapey.
But they're not smart enough to evade Trump's harem, though. I mean.
No.
Or get
well,
thumbs.
You know, they're consenting adult dolphins. You know?
You're so. Right. I shouldn't.
Don't shame sex like workers, that. Okay? A lot of them are there voluntarily.
That's
including the dolphin.
I should be more pro dolphin.
Yeah,
sex.
Jesus Christ. You know, definitely such a sex negative feminazi dolphin.
When a fat, wealthy man marries a sexy young dolphin, we all know what's going on.
They know what's going on. Everybody's in on it. Okay? He's going to get what he wants. She's going to get what she wants. Everybody's happy in the end.
Just happy at the end.
Right? Old balls are going to get sucked. It's going to be good. Everybody's going to be fine.
Aren't dolphins very sexually aggressive?
Yeah, like, they rape all the time. Yeah. They're fucking rapists.
Yeah. Wait, is this why Donald Trump
to
keep them in line?
Hey, you know what? It's not rape if they're married.
No, but I hear they're like kind of sexually aggressive towards humans too. And when Carlos said that, I just like, man, if we could just have him swap places with like the tour guide at SeaWorld. And he just gets up there and he says that line. They're fucking rapists.
Dolphins are fucking rapists.
But without smiling or laughing.
Okay, dolphins.
And just making sure that he makes eye contact with everybody in the tour group while they sit there in complete stunned silence. And then there's like the sniffle of a child.
They'll rape you too.
Cry. Well, this just became an after show.
Well, you know, what do you expect? I'm on.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. It's all right. It's okay. It's content. I'm happy with this. So, yeah. That's dolphins.
Just
that's
don't
Trump.
Don't fight it. Just let it happen.
Yeah.
Go yeah. With it. Dolphin rape. That'll be the name of the after show. Be good to go.
Mm-mm.
Maybe this is why Trump likes dolphins.
Do we know if Donald Trump likes dolphins, or has this been completely made up tonight?
What's the difference?
I think we should start something. Dolphin thing.
The Donald Trump dolphin raper. That'll be my new. I already have Ben. I have what is it? Oh fuck! Who the hell's? I can't even remember his name. I got the Facebook group. Who's the other guy running for Democratic president?
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders exposed is one of the groups I'm running right now. I think Donald Trump dolphin rapist will hit better than this goat will get more fans than Barack Obama.
TrumpDolphinRapeTruth.com.
Is it available?
No, it's a site I'm on right now. I'm reading.
Well, you could just be like an anonymous concerned citizen. I thought you
say it's a real thing again.
Just like write to Gawker and just, be like, I'm just asking questions.
I'm just asking questions,
and
okay?
I'm not making any
statements. I'm not making any statements. Yeah, maybe I'm saying the moon is made of cheese, but I'm just asking questions. Maybe Donald Trump did rape a dolphin.
We don't know.
But we don't know because the dolphin is a faggot, so we can't trust what it has to say. And it was married.
Okay.
Well, you know, the dolphin has not made a statement, and so it's really open to speculation.
This is where someone on the soundboards would make a dolphin sound. But we don't have soundboards here.
Miami Dolphins head coach Don Shula learned an early lesson about business with Donald Trump.
This is how it starts. This is how the connections start, dude.
Yeah.
You realize we have to pick out Ace Ventura memes to, like, start this campaign, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like Ace Ventura Pet Detective and the whole... What was the name of that dolphin? I don't even remember.
Oh, yeah, I don't... That was not a good movie.
It was for the age I was when it came out.
I was five, so it was perfect then. And yeah, I remember watching the news when I was like five, and they're like, critics are panning Ace Ventura. I was like, why? It's great. Don't watch it as an adult.
So interesting story. Judd Apatow wrote The Cable Guy, which was what Jim Carrey's movie was right after Ace Ventura. And they didn't want it to be a comedy.
Right.
They wanted it to be like this dark kind of thriller.
That's kind of the vibe I got when I saw it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I guess they had to like ham it up to get it made.
Well, who was the other actor? Was it Ben Stiller or is it Edward Norton?
Ben Stiller is in it.
It's Ferris Bueller.
Oh, no. Yeah, Ben Stiller directed it.
No, yeah, it was Edward Norton.
No, it was Matthew Broderick.
No, it's
Broderick.
Ferris Bueller. There you go.
Oh. Fuck all those white people in the 90s.
He's
like the same.
Ferris Bueller.
But Ben Stiller,
I don't know people's names.
I think Ben Stiller and Judd Apatow wrote it.
Okay.
I definitely got the vibe that it was like dark and threatening, and I was very
especially
weirded
when he was
out
stalking his girlfriend, the guy's girlfriend and everything. Like that was really
like he kept
creepy.
Crossing boundaries.
Yeah.
Videotaping him with the prostitutes. I was like, whoa, that's a low move.
Yeah. A lot of creepy shit in that movie.
And then the whole breakdown on the satellite about like growing up, being raised by the television, you're like, this guy's totally psychotic. He's going to kill everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the darker movies, and come to think of it, that I saw at that point.
When did that come out?
Mid-90s, maybe, or early 90s?
Yeah.
I'll find out in 1 second.
Remember the first dramatic movie I saw as a kid was The Net.
Whoa. That must have been scary.
I was like, oh my God, the internet's going to kill us all.
Is that Sandra Bullock?
Sandra Bullock.
Identity disappears?
Yeah. And there's like a sexy time moment in the movie?
I don't remember that.
I think I remember that. Or maybe it's just a dream. I'm not sure.
You know, The Net came out around the same time that Nowhere Man was on TV, and Nowhere Man had the same plot, and it was so much better.
Hmm. I just had a crush on Sandra Bullock when I was a kid, so I think that's why I watched it more than once.
Mm. Cable Guy, 1996. I'm guessing The Net was 1993.
Is that old?
I'm guessing it was.
Yeah.
What year were you born, Carlos?
87. This is some great live show right now. Oh, wait, we're not live, so we're good to go. The Net.
I can't think of that many dark movies.
Not in the 90s. There's a lot of shit.
The Net, 1995.
Okay, so it's 8. Yeah, sounds about right.
A cyber action thriller. Directed by Irwin Winkler? I think he directed The French Connection? I could be wrong.
Yeah, 1995, that's when I got AOL. Like, that's when I started internet.
Yeah, and at the beginning of the movie, Sandra Bullock gets a CD in the mail. They send you a CD in the mail.
Was it a CD or a floppy disk?
They send you a CD.
There were CDs, hundreds and hundreds of CDs. It became a joke all throughout the 90s.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
the people AOL. Use them as Christmas ornaments.
Oh, yeah, or you talk about the AOL CDs. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you just hundreds, thousands and thousands of hours of free internet.
I knew a guy that broke them up and made scale mail armor out of them.
Nice. First thing I did was try to find porn, but Google didn't exist yet, so it was a little bit more difficult.
The first thing I did was I got into Star Trek chat rooms and started role playing with people.
And Dobby, this explains how me and you did different transitions in life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was like 8. That was the first. I was like, okay, apparently there's naked people online. I need to find them immediately. That's all I knew the internet was good for. And then I found AOL chat when I was like 11. And that was a fucking game changer. Then I was obsessed with being on the computer because I could finally talk to the people who I was too afraid to talk to in person.
But AOL Instant chat. Messenger?
Yeah.
I remember that.
That was awesome. And they would also always ask, what is it? ASL? Age, sex, location?
Yeah.
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 Yep.
I met some weird people on there that were probably old dudes.
Yeah.
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 What did they want from you?
They would just talk about sexual stuff. Like, it'd be like random people would message me. Be like, hey, how's it going? And then they would start getting to like sex chat. I don't know how they found me.
What kind of sex things would they say?
So what are you going to do with your penis?
So many things.
I'm going to put it in a pencil sharpener.
Whoa.
So it can get real nice and sharp for your butt. No, that's, I don't know what the hell I was doing.
How old were you?
Probably like, I'm trying to think here. By the time that was going on, I was probably 12.
God, I wouldn't have known what to do with my penis when I was 12.
Well, if anyone wants to know what I did with my penis while I was 12, you can go to Puke in the Gang. No.
Yeah.
I went into pretty detail in there. Glad that's on the internet.
All right. So we need to pick this up.
So my parents can know what I did when I was 12 years old in middle school. They can be shocked, afraid. Although anyone telling their parents about the Puke in the Gang would be kind of a bad idea. So let's get it out of the gutter.
Yeah, we got to do a half an hour. If we do a half an hour, we will have recorded for 6 hours and my goal will be met. So we need a solid half hour. We need a topic. What should it be? What's on people's minds?
I was just about to say, I probably do have to jump out because I'm not feeling too well, which I'm really bummed about. But I could stay on for just a couple more minutes. So yeah.
Okay. Well, what's the topic? And we'll wrap up by one. And you can go, of course, obviously, you know.
No, Megan, you have to stay up and you're not allowed to sleep and you have to continue to get more and more sick. So, the rules.
What's on your mind, Avi?
What's on my mind? I'm trying to think of AOL stuff that I used to do. I definitely fell for the, like, I think I'm talking to a teenage girl. Let's trade pictures. Oh, it's a middle-aged guy in a dress with t-shirt tan lines.
And this was revealed?
Happened to me, yeah.
Again, just explaining more about Dobby. This is all making sense.
How long did it go on for as teenage girl before man in shirt?
I don't know. A month or so.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it's
there
was like
creeps on there.
It's not like that was the only person that I was talking to online, though. Like, I was sort of like maintaining all kinds of weird, like, pen pal relationships at the time. So it wasn't that weird. I'd also like it oddly wasn't that shocking to me. Like, you kind of have to understand, like, my parents used to bring me to their gay friends' birthday parties that had male strippers when I was like 10. So, like, the first time I saw like a guy in a G-string grinding on another guy was prepubescent. So it wasn't that weird to see a guy in a dress with t-shirt tan lines. It's just like, oh, that's not what you said you were. Weird.
I would have been stunned by that. I'm so trusting. You know, I feel like I didn't fall for a scam, but I remember I lived in Keene and I used Tinder.
Okay.
Okay. So this girl wrote to me. And she's like, finally, a decent guy on Tinder. And I was like, hell yeah. And she was really, really attractive. And she was black. So I was like, perfect. This is why I'm on Tinder. So we start talking. And then she's like, oh, I'm going to this place tonight. It was like a place in Keene. And she's like, I'm going with a friend, but I'm worried my friend might stand me up. And then I said, oh. So then I get another message from her. She says, my phone's about to die. Add me here.
Yeah.
And it goes to some site. And I was, it had gone on, the conversation had gone on for like a half an hour. So like the month, that would have been heartbreaking to find a man at the end of that adventure.
Yeah, that would have sucked.
But
I don't think I redeemed the conversation any.
In a half an hour, I would have, this conversation, you think we're still off track? No, this is fine. This is a late internet experience. And the topic here is early internet experiences. And I guess you and I, Davi, we have the oldest, but no, I guess we all would have gone online at the same time.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, even 1994 was because that was like 1994, 1995. Then there was like forums and stuff before that.
Yeah.
But it started kind of building up, like you got, what was it, 56K? That's about 95, right?
Yeah.
So that's when you had, basically, you could start really doing images and quicker stuff. And just about getting to the point of being able to do videos. I mean, that was 1998 or 99 when we started getting broadband.
Mm-hmm.
About around there. So, yeah. But, yeah, a lot of the early stuff, though, of the internet for me was a lot of stuff my older brother would find. And then he'd bring back to me. And as a result, you know, you start seeing some disturbing stuff at, like, a really young age. That's just a result of having a gross older brother.
Yeah. I wish I didn't have a gross older brother.
Yeah,
I was a gross older brother.
No, so I remember my older brother getting written up when we were in the school bus one day because he got in trouble for selling. He was drawing pictures of naked girls on pages and selling them to his friends at the back of the bus.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's smart.
Why didn't I think of that?
I was five and I would like see these little things. I was like, why is he doing that? And yeah, he was making like 10, 20 bucks a picture. They were taking like 5 minutes.
Wow.
It was a fucking. He was running a nice little scam.
Smart.
There. Mm. Then there.
I just thought of
it. Not a scam. That's commerce.
No, scam. Yeah, I was about to say.
Excuse me. You guys are right. I'm in the wrong here. I was using my Puritan values. You know, using words like scam. That's incorrect. He was good. That was the one and only decent job my older brother's ever had in his entire life.
I just picture this story
good hustle.
This is nothing about Davi. It's just like this news item that flashed in my head. A man was fired from teaching at a Muslim private school today after a scam was exposed where he was collecting cash from his students at the end of every week based on their earnings from naked pictures of women that he had them selling.
Well, you have to give the art teacher a commission because he, you
know. No, he's taking all the money. It's a very elaborate scam.
He tells them they're getting grades and savings. Baby, I'll take care of you whenever you get out of here. You'll be taken care of.
Oh, you get an A.
You get an A.
You get an A in this class as long as you bring me $200 a week. Look, this is easy. This is a formula. It's worked for 20 years. You draw naked women. You sell those pictures to your friends on the bus. You bring me the money. You get an A.
Oh, man. What happens if I catch a kid with pornography in his desk?
Just don't say anything, period.
I think that's what I have to do.
You just have to say absolutely nothing. There's nothing beneficial that can come out of that.
Is it even worth like warning him?
Nope.
Nothing.
No, don't say shit.
No, because then that's acknowledgement that you saw it, mm-hmm. and then you're involved in a cover up.
And with porn, and you're an adult. Like, dude, just act like it didn't happen. Like, for everyone involved.
Oh, that's right. There's all these weird legal things I've gotten myself into.
Yeah.
What the hell?
If you have any questions, feel free not to Facebook message me. Red phone is always good.
I have red phone.
Yeah, red phone me in case you have any questions like that at all. I will be more than happy.
Oh, what the hell? Now I'm paranoid.
Yeah, you should be.
No, I don't think so. I think you're fine. I just, as a former teacher, I walked in, I remember this was like 2005, and these two kids were in this computer lab, and they were buying fake weed online.
Man, here I was all concerned for the psyche of this kid.
Sorry, buddy.
And I was just like, whatever you're doing, you can't do it here. You have to stop. And then they just closed the window, and that was it.
Me and my teacher walked in on two kids fucking in a practice room. Like fucking. When we were like when I was like 15.
And did you and your teacher have a conversation about what you saw?
I walked out of the room immediately. She yelled at them and told them to put their clothes back on. And I didn't talk to my teacher about it until I was 19. Because she was now teaching my younger brother.
Yeah.
And I just kind of made a joke. I was like, remember when Teresa? And she was like, yep. I didn't say that you were involved at all. I was like, thank you. And that was it. It was like, we just didn't have the conversation.
Secrets.
So yeah, so my older brother got caught by the bus driver, Luis. I remember Luis. So he grabbed all the pages, took them away, gave them to the principal, and the principal then handed all of that to my mother. My mother shows up, starts bawling her fucking eyes out because, you know, good little Christian is doing these particular things. And I think that was the moment when my mother realized that her plans for perfect Christian children were going to be thrown away quite quickly.
Mm.
Yeah. It was a good market, though. It's a good amount of money, things to do. And now you can't do that. I don't think there's really a market for that at all, unless you're like drawing kiddie porn or something.
No, that's what made it funny, is that somebody, and I didn't mean to superimpose it onto Davi's new career, but just the comical aspect of it is that somebody could make money doing that today. Like,
you couldn't.
No, you couldn't. You absolutely couldn't.
Google search images. I mean, we're good.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw Tub Girl when I was 9.
I don't know what that is. It sounds terrible. If it has to happen in a tub, I don't want to. If you need a tub,
wait.
I don't want to know.
None of you guys know what Tub Girl
is? No.
Okay, we don't need
that
to go any
further.
That
sounds really familiar, but no, I don't need to know.
No, you don't need to know. It's all good. It was just the moment that, like, I figured out what the internet was about.
Yeah, if you need porcelain. Like, waterproof porcelain walls are needed to hold the situation together. I don't want to know what's going on. So, but
I don't remember finding out what the internet was about.
I'm still lost.
I don't have one. I don't have a Tub Girl. I don't know what that would have been for me. I guess maybe it was Dress with T-shirt Tan Lines guy.
And did you confront him? Did you say anything like, "Hey, you're not
what gives?"
Yeah,
what gives, bro?
What's the why?
What's up with that?
I would have been so confused. I would have been like, "Why are you just be yourself, man?" I don't know. How did you deal with that?
I think I just did not respond at all.
Oh.
Like, I think I just stopped communicating with him.
How did he do the big reveal? He's like, "Hey, guess what? I've got good news. I'm this guy."
No, it was, you used to be able to like attach pictures in an email. I guess you can still do that.
Oh, did he never say he was a teenage girl?
No, he did.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't remember. It was so long ago.
Because, I mean, that's like a major disappointment. I don't think I've ever had anything like that happen.
I think most of being a teenager was a major disappointment, though.
It was.
It was just one after
another. Quite a bit of it.
Pretty much describes my teenage years. Yeah, and,
I don't remember. I remember very few things in my early childhood that were not mostly disappointments.
But there's already so much like disappointing myself and being disappointed by other teens. I don't need like adult men getting involved. Like,
right.
That's kind of like a heartbreaking story, I think.
Well, I wasn't like in love with this girl.
Will you stop trying to solidify his childhood as more traumatic than it was?
No, I know.
Don't pull the stuff here. We really don't need to do that thing.
For me, it's kind of a funny story. I don't.
Yeah,
even
keep it as a funny fucking
time.
Story. We don't need to throw you in a goddamn psychology classroom for this.
I'm so sorry that happened to you.
I'm so sorry. That is tragic. She was a bitch. Your mother was a bitch. Did you touch your butthole, Timmy?
But oh, by the way, that video has been taken offline.
What?
What video?
The one about single mothers?
No, the paper bag Stefan Molyneux puppet video.
Really?
Oh my God, no.
It's gone.
Why?
Because sometimes, like, when I'm feeling blue, I just want to go and watch that video.
It's the greatest parody.
It's so,
so great.
When the eyes fall off, that part is great.
Yes.
And they fall off like one at a time, and it's just brilliant, even though it was completely unintentional. But it's just such a masterful video. And that dude, Cartanimation, I think it's called, took it off his channel.
Wondering what happened.
I kind of want to know.
DMCA did or why, something.
Well, we could. Well, he can't DMCA though. It's just a name. He doesn't. He didn't even well, use any. He didn't even use any. There's nothing he could have went off of.
Like maybe he's now a. Well,
maybe he reported it for bullying
no,
or something.
Well, no. Here's.
Did a person remove it or did it just disappear
It's just gone. Like he removed it.
He might have removed because maybe he's a hardcore Molly now.
No, maybe. No. He said
he saw that one about single mothers and he was like, yep. Those bitches,
cunts.
Maybe Fandango has the paper puppet thing patented, and Fandango made them take it down.
I don't know, but I kind of want to write to him and be like, "What happened to your best video?"
I think we need Brian and Stephanie on this for another conspirathon about this particular video. Yes.
Where are the documents?
Black helicopters came down, swooped his video away.
Is it just because they're in the sky that they look black?
No, there is a black helicopter.
Who
at
looks
Fest.
Black? What?
The helicopters. They look black.
Oh, no, black. The black helicopters are black because they are unmarked.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Like, but the black helicopter conspiracy theory came about when most of the helicopters you saw in the sky were like Channel 5 News or some traffic copter or something.
Yeah.
And so the idea that it was an unmarked black helicopter was sort of like an unmarked black SUV. It was like it meant that it was government or some agency or something.
So when I was in Florida last week. Megan, you saw the unidentified flying object, correct?
I was just going to bring this up.
This was
yeah.
the fucking weirdest
I've never seen
thing
something
I've
like
ever
this. This
seen.
Crazy.
This thing was flying in the fucking sky, looked yeah. like a plane, but it had a, how would you describe, because it was weird.
It was like a screen of LED lights almost.
Yeah.
But. Or like almost like a bullet, like one of those kind of LED bulletin boards, but it had more colors. And it was almost like a floating screen craft like thing in the sky. It was really weird. And it was really dark outside, but you could really see that it was glowing and freaking. It didn't, I mean, it looked like some just kind of high tech.
Now, I may or may not have been high at the time.
It wasn't alien or anything.
But I
was
really bothered.
Weird,
by the fact that we were the only ones who were freaked out by this. I was like, that fucking, no one here has ever seen this before. And we're just assuming this is normal.
Yeah, well, they fly weird stuff all the time because there's a bunch of Air Force bases and stuff here. So that's why, we were with another friend, my friend Rachel. And me and Rachel were just kind of like, yeah, they fly weird shit. But yeah. I have never seen that kind of weird shit before. It was really weird. But yeah, I don't know. It was like this weird floating screen with.
Yeah, I was just kind of looking
kinda
around.
It was kind of cool looking, actually.
It was very cool. I knew it was owned by the government, so I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. Are they going to kill me with this one day? Do I know?
Right. Sure. What was it flying around for?
Yeah. I just want to know what the fuck it was because it looked cool.
Yeah.
This is very, very strange. Military testing.
Actually, Gulf Breeze, that Pensacola Beach area basically has the highest UFO sightings, I think, in Florida.
I like how it's categorized in Florida. I bet you it's in the country if it's in Florida.
I think it's in the country.
Yeah.
But yeah, Gulf Breeze, the Pensacola Beach area. So, but conspiracy theorists are like, it's the quartz crystal sand.
What's the
summons
quartz crystal
them.
Sand?
It's the they say the sand is quartz crystal. Quartz crystal. Gosh, that's hard to say. But yeah, it's got like special energy or some shit. I don't know.
Weird.
I just think there's a lot of military bases around there just testing shit and freaking people out all the time.
Which is basically what Area 51 was.
Yeah.
And then the government purposely created stories to make it sound as if people who talked about unidentified flying objects were talking about aliens and therefore they were crazy, so no one would ever talk about the military testing going on over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Conspirathon.
Conspirathon.
Davi, you were saying something?
Oh, I was just saying, like, when I was a kid, we used to put glow sticks inside helium balloons and separate them with dowels so it looked like a triangle up in the sky. So I'm not above assuming it's some kid with a prank, you know, light in the sky thing.
Davi was happens. The original balloon boy scam.
I wasn't in the balloon.
I know, but balloons used in scams. I mean, when else was that done?
There was no balloon.
I don't think I was.
There was no balloon boy. That's why it was a scam. I mean, it was a fake.
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah. So,
Davi really used balloons.
Davi just accepted.
That's true. I did use balloons. I don't think I was the first. I'm pretty sure lots of people have used balloons before me.
Yeah.
Can you prove
it? I don't know.
We all know the Hindenburg was an inside job.
Is there a theory about that?
Dude, that thing was so fucked up. Like when he watched the video and he actually heard the sounds, you're like, oh man, that was messed up.
All those people jet fuel can't melt balloons.
Well, it was hydrogen, wasn't it?
Hydrogen definitely can't melt a balloon.
Hydrogen alone can't. That's true. Hydrogen on fire.
See how easy these things are to understand when you don't know physics?
steel beams free fall.
We all know heat rises and the Hindenburg went down. What's up with that?
Yeah. When I look at the floor, it's flat. Therefore, the earth is flat.
They shouldn't have mocked God in that hooligan way. He could fly in that giant balloon.
Boom. Hindenburg conspiracy. Hindenburg mystery solved after 76 years.
Of course it was.
They said it could never fall out of the sky.
Oh, wow. The third one is the click for me. Right. Hindenburg and Titanic. Two psyops,
yes.
One agenda.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So the Hindenburg
exactly
was
where I was going with that.
The Hindenburg was tied to the Federal Reserve?
No, the Titanic was for sure, though.
Yeah, I know. That's
the Titanic.
And there's also the most compelling theory about the Titanic is that it really wasn't the Titanic.
It was Titanic 2.
No, it was a ship. I think it was called the Olympia or something. And it had been damaged. So what they did was they just changed it. The Titanic had been announced. So they just put the Titanic lettering on the damaged ship and then sunk it. And it was like an insurance scam.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Insurance didn't quite work that well back then. And you can make a lot more money by keeping it going. Plus, having that many important people on one boat, you could probably make more money by keeping them alive. Also, you'd also have all the equipment that you'd have to move from one ship to another. But these are just things called details, which usually fuck up conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Like,
who needs it?
Oh, my God. There's the conspiracies on the Titanic one. And those first started really getting presented, though, because of, what is it, Creature of Jekyll Island? The crazy guy wrote that book. What was his name?
J. Edward Griffin.
Yeah, who also said that vitamin B16 will cure cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a nut. He has a
whole bunch of other weird books.
He's a fucking nut. And it's funny that like a lot of people quote him about the Federal Reserve. I was like, I don't know. He might be right about some of that. But he's also wrong about like 99% of everything else. So
he's done a lot of great work on collectivism.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. He used to give these talks back in the 60s, like the collectivist conspiracy, he called it. I think he's somebody who should be
taken
fairly seriously.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could just be cherry picking the craziest parts of his personality, which I do a lot. So,
but you're around for a long time. Stop me when this sounds familiar.
Yeah.
a lot of people take you very seriously.
Yeah.
You start expanding into other areas.
Yeah.
You might get a little lazy.
Yeah.
And you say some things that people have a problem with eventually.
Like parasitical women.
I wasn't even thinking of that. I'm just saying like...
just in general? Just seems to happen?
I don't know. I mean, I could see that happening.
Well, it's kind of like the phenomenon of like, say when an actor tries to be a musician or something, like they put out a record. It's like, oh, well, I'm really good in this field. So I can kind of, half-ass it in this other thing. And they put out some shitty pop record or something and not really as talented in that area. But, maybe people let it slide. But on a smaller level, like internet philosophers or whatever, I mean, yeah, you can be an expert in one area and then you have a bit of a following and those people might kind of inherently trust you on other topics.
That's true. And a lot of people
that maybe you have no business talking
about. Yeah, that's
like Amy Schumer is suddenly on the gun grabbing bandwagon.
Yeah.
Aw.
Well, so do you know how that started?
Somebody got shot in one of her
movie theaters who was like this person who really hated the idea of a women having sex and having fun. And
oh, really? That's what it was about?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, he was actually a raging misogynist and would call into the local radio station just having conniption fits about women. Like, it was like a regular thing. And yeah, he shot up the movie theater because it was a kind of... I mean, it was a female comedian. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. I don't know how many feminist themes there are in it, but,
Well, according to his views of feminism, it would match everything, right? Like a woman who freely has sex with a number of different people and has fun while doing it and doesn't have babies yet. So it's everything that's wrong with the world. And, you know, of course, then Alex Jones, all these other folks immediately call it the false flag. So,
which is fucked up because people died.
Because people died. At least,
like,
you know,
not crisis actors, like actual fucking
people. That's the thing is I don't see Alex Jones talking about crisis actors very often, which is good because people die and it's really fucked up whenever you say they were acting. But it's like a Ben Swan type thing. Like he was talking about Sandy Hook and he was like, oh, they're crisis actors. I was like, people
die. What the fuck was up with that?
Ben Swan said that?
Ben Swan used the crisis actor argument too.
He said the term crisis actors. I just met somebody who was the cousin of the cop who was killed at MIT by the Tsarnaev brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and she was like, yeah, I believe in conspiracy. I put, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy theories where, you know, I think there's a lot of truth, but not that one.
I just, the crisis actors thing, that's a new thing that's so stupid to me that it doesn't make any sense. If you believe the government wants to kill its own people, why would they use actors? Why wouldn't they just kill people?
Yeah.
Like, you're saying they're willing to spray chemtrails and poison us.
It's because of the movie Wag the Dog. Do you remember that conversation in Wag the Dog where they hired the actress to like run through the Ukraine holding a cat and she's like, this is going to look great on my resume. And they're like, you can never put this on your resume. So there you go. Crisis actor was in Hollywood and then suddenly it became part of the mainstream conspiracy theory genre. But it was in Hollywood first. So we should accuse them of conspiring with Hollywood with their theories.
But it's just like, it's just from a logical perspective. Like, I mean, it's kind of how I try to deduce like any conspiracy theory that comes to me.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't even need to check the evidence. Like, I'll check the evidence out, but just explain the logic first. And if there's none, then I don't feel like I should even waste my time with it. Especially like, the Boston bombing.
If chemtrails
going,
are real,
there's not
why
enough blood coming out of the leg. I'm like, dude, that guy got his fucking leg blown off. No, it's not enough blood. It's fake. Like, that's disgusting.
And what's the frame of reference? It's like, it's all this 9/11 stuff is where I first noticed that. And I was like, okay, where else have you seen a situation like this that you're using as a frame of reference for? Now, I don't believe the official story of 9/11, but I think almost...
I've watched a lot of zombie movies, and there's a lot of blood in those movies, so...
Yeah. I just don't think there's anything compelling about the parts of the conspiracy that most people want you to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think we're, and the 9/11 one, like, I have no idea. I'm not an engineer. JFK, I have really no idea, and they're all dead. Pretty much everyone who knew what was going on is probably dead right now. But when he started throwing in... At least there's a logic behind some of the 9/11 stuff when it's brought up to me. I get a little bit confused because they go, well, it's all about being able to go to Iraq. Well, it's like, why would you use a bunch of Saudis paid for by a group in Afghanistan to justify killing people in Iraq? But I know there's whole
I don't
stories.
Even think 9/11 was about Iraq. I think that's like a fringe benefit of it.
Okay. And that's
And
that's fine, too. But when it comes to it's just the logic of the crisis actors thing. Where that's my stomach starts churning because, like, dude, those guys just died. Like, and you're getting into this weird, really misanthropic view of humanity at that point, where there's just legit evil Satan worshiping people out there. And
speaking, I don't know if you guys heard this, but in Pensacola recently, there were these murders that they're saying are like ritualistic satanic
murders. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the sheriff came out and tries to blame it on Wiccans and people practicing Wicca. And so the Wiccans got mad and were like, that's bullshit. Like, we don't believe in human sacrifice and all of this
shit.
What
is this? Like,
this is where I live.
This is 100 AD?
This is where I fucking live. Like, but it was a really terrible, and it's an awful story, But yeah, it actually made it like to Vice and a few other major kind of outlets because our sheriff is a retard. Oh God, he's just awful. But yeah, he was basically like, oh yeah, Satanists, and then the Wiccan, and he starts talking about like Pentecostals, but like, you know, not the speaking in tongues, playing with snakes ones. Like,
there's another Pentecostals.
I guess.
I don't know. I've only been in one Pentecostal church in my whole life, and they definitely spoke in tongues, although I didn't see Dancing with Snakes.
Yeah, do you know how to speak in tongues really quickly? Just say, gotta buy a Hyundai really, really quickly.
Gotta buy a Hyundai.
Gotta buy a Hyundai. Gotta buy a Hyundai. Gotta buy a Hyundai. Gotta buy a Hyundai. Gotta buy a Hyundai. Gotta buy a Hyundai. Yeah, you just hit repeat it.
Gotta buy a Hyundai.
That works. That works. But,
what's the claim of speaking in tongues? That it's like...
You're supposedly speaking some old language that was like the language of Christ, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, biblically speaking in tongues means... Biblically speaking in tongues means speaking a language that everybody can hear no matter what their native tongue is. In the modern world, speaking in tongues means speaking a language nobody understands, not even the person speaking it.
Right. Well, and what they'll also try to say too is that, oh no, speaking in tongues can also mean speaking in a language that you're not familiar with. Like, oh, all of a sudden you start speaking in Spanish and people who, like, this is supposedly what some of them said. Like, oh yeah, you know, this person started speaking this language and I could understand them because they were speaking my, but it's probably just bullshit. But yeah.
Do you really need to really put weird. The prefix of probably there? It is bullshit.
I do.
It's right. But yeah, that stuff's weird. They used to have these revivals at this church. It was a Pentecostal church. I think it was called Brownsville or something like that. And they found out that they were actually pumping. What were they doing? Like pumping extra oxygen into the room or something, but also making it way hotter than, and it's already Florida, so it's already freaking hot down here. But like they would like cut off the AC. People would have like heart attacks and shit from like going into convulsions. I mean, like ambulances would come out and like take them out of the church because people would just flip out during these crazy revival. This is probably in like the 90s and early 2000s here.
Do you guys know the Pentecostal snake charmer scam? How they do that? So they'll
no.
So a preacher will come out and he'll be holding a snake because according to some random text in the Bible, it says that if you get bitten by a snake, you'll be cured by God. So the test is you're supposed to be able to handle a snake. What they do is they take the snake and they actually put it in a freezer for a while, right? It chills it out and then they bring it back out. It doesn't kill it. It just slowly starts to get back. So by the end of it, technically, the least faithful person will get bit because it'll be the most de-thawed by the time they actually come out. So the best bet is to come in at the beginning.
Oh, so it's never the priest. It's never just whoever came late.
Yeah, it's whoever came
late. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How can they be such scam artists?
You ever heard of the Pope? There's a fucking... There's a golden castle.
If you're the best, you get to live in a golden castle.
Based off a religion where a guy said that those who are weak and meek shall inherit the earth. Like it's.
But I need a golden castle.
But I need a fucking golden castle
and a bulletproof Pope mobile.
And then I'm going to tell people that it's bad to have money or guns, even though I'm protected by money and guns
and fancy hats.
How come you don't ever try to?
There could be bongs.
There could be bongs.
Yeah. But this new Pope, he toned it down a little bit, right? He's not as extravagant as the others.
He still has a fucking golden castle.
Okay,
yeah, and I think his shoes are like $500 or something ridiculous.
To be fair, he inherited a golden castle, you know.
Oh, that's true.
He also inherited being the fucking Pope, right?
He what?
He also inherited being the fucking Pope.
Yeah, like, do you ask to be the Pope or are you drafted?
I don't think anyone goes in there going, oh, I don't want to be the Pope. I don't want to be the vessel for God. All right? Like, you went in there.
He's like, oh, I guess I'll do it.
I'm really disappointed that people are running scams that lead to others getting bit by snakes. And it's not just, like, the delusion of belief. It's like, yeah, this is bullshit, so put the snake in the freezer first, you know, and then like it'll just bite the person at the back of the line because
you think all cults are like collective delusion? No, many gurus are total scam artists.
Yeah, they're scam artists.
Yeah,
I don't understand deliberately being. There must be some kind
money.
No, there must be something else. There must be
power.
There's like no, there's James
even
Randi.
The, like even the littlest amount of power over someone just makes some people just fucking cream themselves. Like they love it. I mean, and like having all of those people like looking up to you. I mean, even if you're not making a whole lot of money as one of these crazy preachers, that amount of admiration and I mean, you know, it makes people do all sorts of weird stuff. I mean, yeah, you know, this is why they always get caught sleeping with a bunch of people's wives or like, you know, kids or something weird like that. Like it just fucking,
you know, I've accidentally been in the position of cult leader and I had a strong impulse to just push it to see how far the people would go.
I know it's like,
and it wasn't even that I was into the power. It was that it was like I was looking at this like strange human experiment of like, what is, these people are a different species than me. I would never do what they're doing. How far will they go?
Well, and some people actually do. Like, I bet. So the ultimate like evil scam artists to me are the ones who say they can talk to the dead. Right. John Edwards.
Oh,
he's,
God.
He's the worst human being possible. Because the only thing you have left when someone dies is the memory of them. And the moment you decide to add in this memory of this person who's now talking to you from the dead, you're destroying the only thing you have left of this human being, right? And he knows what he's doing. He's a scam artist. He's cold calling.
Oh, you mean he's actually taking their memory of their uncle or whatever and wrecking it.
And wrecking it, which to me is like real evil, you know?
I think what maybe worse than that, I mean, God, that's so evil, but a friend of mine went missing a couple years ago and her best friend was my old roommate and it was a really, really weird situation. We couldn't find her and still to this day she hasn't been found. So there's like this uncertainty. But one of my close friends who's kind of into some of the new age, like, you know, stuff, she went to see a psychic who was trying to give her hope, like, oh, she's alive somewhere and stuff like that. And it's just, it made me so pissed. I had to like walk away from the conversation.
You know who got
it
out?
There was a psychic
who did that on fucking TV. God, I cannot remember her name. She's an old school scam artist. But she was on like Montel or something.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Little girl had went missing.
Was it like Madame Dorothy or something like that?
Yeah, she actually stated that the little girl was dead. She said, she's gone. She's gone. Turns out she was fucking alive, right? This woman got no trouble at all. Nothing. She's still making like well over $100,000 a year of people basically calling in to get her psychic advice for like fucking $200 to $300 an hour. Like the weirdest thing, and there's a documentary with James Randi in it that is just great. It's a story of his life, and it's really wonderful. But what he brought up is, like, he catches all these people being ridiculously awful, like, in all the lies and everything. And he shows the entire public and give them 2 years, and they'll rationalize it. Some people forget. Some people remember and choose to forget. And they'll continue to make money.
Well, because they did that one good thing that one time. You know, maybe that one time their prediction was right for that one family.
And think about all the good things they did. For liberty.
Oh, gosh.
So much for liberty.
Sorry, I had to turn it around. I had to. But no, it's just...
Well, it applies to everything, you know. It really does.
You're only as good as your last act. I mean, that's how art generally is. And to a point, it should be... After a while, how we choose to kind of live our lives. And
see, that's why I want to plan my own funeral.
We're only it's my last act. All right, fair enough. I get it. All right.
I always wanted my funeral to be a dance party.
But yeah, so going back to what you're saying, they're like, oh, can't just be a scam. Some people are making absolutely no money a year, right? Like they're just poor as fuck, but they're charismatic. They figure out a scam and how to make it work. They don't have a lot of issues when it comes to ethics whatsoever because they've been screwed over in their own life. And they've already
it's not just religion. You think life coaches believe in their advice?
Some of them. Because it got them to where they are. The weirder thing is whenever they start saying God did it.
Yeah.
Because life coaches are just lying.
It's not... We really got to laser in on the people putting snakes in the freezer. That's fucked up, okay? Like, let's not expand that to include, like, free domain radio, okay? These motherfuckers are like, yeah, put a snake in the freezer. Who is the person handling the snake?
I just wish Calvin was here because he used to do this shit. Like, he talked about, like, his friends throwing fucking snakes in freezers in Southern churches. Like, this is just a normal thing that you did. Like, certain people are in on this information.
What kind of snakes?
Poisonous fucking snakes. And in fact, though, there was one church over the last year, it was one of these Pentecostal churches, where one of the assholes, like, leaders actually seemed to really believe what he was saying. And he got bit, and he goes, nope, God, take care of it. About 4 hours later, he died. That's a Darwin Award right there.
You know what? Some people, like, I almost feel like there's, like, you're fulfilling a market demand. Because whenever these sorts of things happen to me, it was by mistake. Like, I started that pot church, and everybody knew that it was fake. And people came and did it anyway and picked up these mannerisms and went around writing mythologies. And then I pretended to be Emperor Norton, and everybody knew it was fake. And they, like, came to me and, like, swore fealty to me and wanted to be part of my royal court. People used to pay me to do tarot card readings when I admitted that I didn't believe it, and they did.
No, Penn Jillette was talking about that with the cold reading stuff. He used to do this thing where he would repeatedly state, this is all fake. Okay, this is what your mother said, or something like that. You know, do basically what John Edwards would say. And he'd say during the entire time, this is fake, this is fake, this is fake. And afterwards he'd go, we know you have to say that's fake, but I know you're really talking to my mother.
Yeah, I had people who thought that that it was real, and just because I didn't believe it was real didn't mean that it wasn't working.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Right.
He gets so those people, so they had to, he said that he actually had to stop doing the cold reading because he's felt bad. You know, you just feel like shit after a while. When a magician tells you he's a magician, he's admitting to you that he's lying before he's doing it. So take him on his fucking word. But a lot of people, they just kind of go with it.
But that's probably the most powerful ingredient in this whole thing is it's like faith healing.
Yeah.
It requires the person's faith.
Yeah.
To even be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, so it really is just like this coming together of different types of desperation. I think that's the best explanation for it. People who are desperate for power or money or stability or whatever comes from having those things, and people who are desperate for answers.
Yeah.
See, I think it can also happen, like, given the guy putting the snake in the freezer knows he's lying and he's you know, a shithead. But I think that it also happens that you have people in these leadership positions who are duped by their own garbage, and they're as confirmation biased as the audience, and they really come to believe what it is that they're spinning. I think that happens too.
I
think there's a lot of that.
There is a point where human beings, it's hard for them to live in that much of a contradiction. So rather than deal with the reality that they're just some piece of shit, they just start buying into it. And it's easier to live.
No, I mean, like, they probably, I'm suggesting it's possible to cold read yourself.
What does that sentence mean?
It means, I know card tricks, for example, where I know the card trick and you don't, and I can hand you the deck and tell you what to do and the card trick will work. And you don't know why it works, but you watch it work even though it's in your own hands. I'm suggesting that there are people who get themselves in positions of cult leaders who are duped by their own bullshit because they've come up with a story that explains why it's working.
Yeah. No, that's a lot of religion, I think. I think there's some definite truth to that. People basically just telling you that you are this wise leader, and then you starting to believe it because, yeah.
Exactly. I think that's very
although,
common.
Although the fucking frozen snake thing, I mean, that guy's just...
Well, that person's obviously lying. But, you know, like... not Aleister Crowley. What the hell was that guy's name? H.P. Lovecraft, toward the end of his life, came to sort of believe, or at least quasi claimed to believe, that he thought these things were real and that they were haunting him and that he didn't create these monsters, but they were actually channeling their stories through him, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's not him being addicted to power or a cult of personality or something. That's like inspiration comes to a person's mind somehow, and depending on the map you put over that experience, you're going to come to different beliefs about it.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
It's kind of like the opposite of imposter syndrome, where instead of not believing what people are telling you, you just believe everything that, like, they're like, especially if you have like followers or something and you're in a position of power over them, or you've kind of created this religion or this set of, this ideology. You just completely believe it. And it was just without question, and even inflate some of the importance of it, or or your power or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Do any of you watch Orange is the New Black?
I gotta get going.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we need to wrap this up. We've been going 6 hours and 15 minutes, so why don't we all just call it a night? I'm very tired as well, and I'd like to go to bed now.
All right.
All right. I had a blast talking with y'all.
Yeah, me too. Davi, we can do this anytime. MK, we can do this anytime. We could do a show like this every other week if you want.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. I'm down.
Just the four of us.
That'll make it easier for both of us. I think we could, instead of us having to split the room, we could just do a podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Good shit.
And we have to come up with a name for what it is. Whoa! Somebody just...
Fact.
Twilight of Freedom.
Something like that.
Good night.
Wasn't it Trump Stamp? I thought it was Trump Stamp.
Trump Stamp.
No, that's the name of this show. I mean, like, if we do, like, an ongoing thing.
Oh, my God, yes.
The Dolphin Harem?
Dolphin.
The Dolphin Harem, yeah. A bi-monthly show. The Dolphin Harem. Welcome back to the Dolphin Harem.
You're listening to the Dolphin Harem.
Podcast about education. Yeah, no. do a full thing for it. Yeah. All right.
Well, I'm groovy.
All right. Good night, folks.
All right.
All right. Good night, guys.
I'm hanging up. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please help us out by leaving a positive review on iTunes. If you were angered by the show, please help us out by leaving negative reviews everywhere. If you think this is an important message for students, for parents, or for the future of intellectual freedom, please consider supporting us. SchoolSucksProject.com/AV. For $6 a month, you'll get access to hundreds of additional hours of content while helping us grow and spread this message further.